As we prepare ourselves to enter into a time of study of God's Word, it's so good to see you on today. I hope it's good to see me. Okay, I'm just checking. It's good to see you on today. Those of you who are listening from home viewing us, we just thank God for each and every one of you who have gathered to worship God. Would you help me thank God for our praise team? Help me thank God for our musicians, our media team, all those who work for the body of Christ. Because it's always good when we get together to worship the Lord. If you've been with us in this series, you know that we've been studying from the book of James. And on today, the message is coming from that second chapter of James. James chapter 2. As we continue on in that series, what to do when you don't know what to do. Seth, I know you've been there before where you're journeying in life and you get to that place and you're just wondering, what's the next move? Ronnie, what's the next step for me to take? Well, one thing I love about the Word of God, particularly the letter of James, is just how practical it is. Now, James gives us practical instructions on how to live life as a believer. And the truth is that the letter is written to believers. Always, Brother Harvey, want to put that out there so that we are always mindful that God's word is written to us. And it's through the obedience to God's word that God uses us as his people. So I hope you found your way to James chapter 2. Looking with me at the 14th verse. Let's hear the word of God. What good is it? My brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is it? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was active. I'm going to say that one more time. His faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see, that person is justified by works, and not by faith alone. And in the same way, not also was Rahab, the prostitute, justified by her works when she received messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works. Help the Holy Spirit, I just want to encourage you from the language of the text to work your faith. To work your faith. Father, we are before you, before your presence. And it's under your presence and your power that we've gathered in this place. Because you've been doing a work in our lives, and we pray that you do a work through our lives. That whenever we're in a place where we don't know what to do, The one thing we do know to do is to allow you to work through us. So lead us and guide us. Challenge us that there may be action to our faith and that you be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. It's the word of God. You know, 65 years ago, some of you, that's not long. Some of my young people, you may have disconnected when I said 65. But all those who are in the audience and you've been here for 65 or 65 plus years, I want to show everyone that that's not long. Would you just wave? Just wave your hands. If you 65 and up, wave your hand. Look at that. Look at all the blessings around us. Look at all the blessings around us. We celebrate you all because 65 years ago, a group of believers gathered. They gathered and they put action to their faith. For when they gathered together, they became a church. And where we stand and sit today is a result of believers 65 years ago putting their faith into action. I'm going to press this for a moment here. Because all of us weren't here when the drafts were made for even this building or this property. But there were those who went before us who activated their faith. And as a result of their faith being in action, we are blessed today. Amen. So then it begs the question, what works will your faith leave behind that will bless someone else? Because the truth is, that it's a living faith. A living faith is a faith that works. I want to work here for a moment. Because James asked the question, what good is it for us to say we have faith, gather in this place? What good is it for us to always come sing God's praises and read God's word, and then when there's an opportunity to activate our faith, something is absent? He says, what good is it for someone if someone says, keeps on declaring that they have faith? What good is it for us to keep having continue to declare that we are Christians, and yet, Brother Virgil, our lives, our actions, our activities do not reflect the Christ we claim to represent? What good is that, Belen? In fact, the Word of God says that kind of faith is a lifeless faith. It has no substance to it, and because it has no substance to it, it's incapable of even giving life. Are you with me in this place? It's kind of like this fruit that's here. Which would you prefer to have? One that is without life, can't give any nourishment to you? Or Hazel, would you prefer to have one that can nourish you? I see you, but that's right. You got the right answer. One that nourishes you. Nourishment to the body. Hear me, brothers and sisters. I really want to press this claim to us, because the reality is there's a lot that is said in the name of Christ, in the name of Christianity, but when it comes down to practicing it and living it out, there's something that's amiss. Come on, it's tight, but it's right. I mean, here it is. There's something that is wrong when we come and gather, and then we go out, and what we gather and celebrate on the inside is not demonstrated when we go outside. Let me just hang in here for a moment. What we gather and celebrate on the inside sometimes is not even demonstrated on the inside. What kind of faith is that? Ronnie, the Bible says that kind of faith is a faith that is lifeless. If your brother or your sister comes before you. No, notice here, he says, your brother or your sister. He's speaking to believers about believers and the welfare of believers. He says, if your brother or your sister comes before you and they are lacking in clothing and they are lacking in food, get this, and you give them a Christianized idiom. You're blessed and you're highly favored. If you say you have faith and they come before you and you see them before you and you do nothing of real substantive value in their lives, then your faith that you're demonstrating is lifeless because it gives no life. I'm just talking to you. I'm not even talking about the world or the community. I'm talking to believers. Because I want to challenge us to evaluate our faith not based upon a comparison with anybody else. I want you to evaluate your faith based upon what the Word of God says of our faith. Chuck, he says, if we are practicing such a faith that does not have a responsiveness to the needs of others, that faith, he says, it's lifeless. It's dead. That our declarations have to be undergirded by our demonstration. That even when we don't declare it with our voices, people can look at our lives and say, that's a believer. What compels you to do good for me is because God has been good to me. What compels you to love people even when they are difficult to love? Genuine faith. And he shows what lifeless faith really looks like, because if you really examine the text, it says lifeless faith is a faith that lacks love. It's right there. If you see the need and you fail to do something about the need, then something is lacking. That's a lack of compassion. That you can look at people who are hurting and look at people who are struggling and they be a part of the group that God has assigned you to, and yet you don't take responsibility for them. The Bible says that something is wrong with that kind of faith. That faith doesn't give life, and a faith that is lifeless is a faith that cannot give life. I hope you see this as we're challenged. In other words, it's one thing to say it, but TJ, we always say, show me what you're working with. Here's the reality. It's one thing to say that you can drive well. It's a whole nother thing to do it. I'm going to look at somebody around this area right here. It's one thing to say that we are believers, and we are followers of Christ, but if you examine the life of Christ, what you examine is a life that was always at work helping those who needed help. They weren't caught up on, he's not a life caught up on titles like socialism and conservatives and liberals. No, it's all about, this is Christ and I'm Christ-like, and if I'm striving to live like Christ, then I'm going to do what Christ did. What did he do? When people were hungry, he fed them. When people needed nourishment, he gave it to them. When people were sick, he gave healing to them. Here it is, church. What does our faith say about us? He gives us three kinds of faith to examine. One, it's a lifeless faith, a faith that lacks love and compassion. And let me press down on what he says. He says, somebody comes to you and they have need, and you have this lifeless faith. You just tell them that they're coming, they're naked, they're without nourishment, and our response is, keep yourself warm. It says, be warm. Keep yourself warm. Get your own food. Have a nice day. God bless you. God just won't use me to bless you. That's what we're saying. If we look at this in an even passive sense, it's let someone else keep you warm. Let someone else feed you. We just won't do it. Let the deacons do it. We just won't do it. Let the preachers do it. We just won't do it. Kevin, the text is written to everyone who's blessed by God through Jesus Christ to live our lives. Here's the challenge: to live our lives as Christ followers and not have a lifeless faith. Oh, we got to push a little bit more. See, this is the first kind of faith he presents to us, but then there's yet another. It's another kind of faith. This faith is more cerebral. This faith is more expressive. It's right there in the text. Follow with me. He says, because somebody, he has his argument in text, somebody will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Here it is. You believe in God. Cerebral. Intellectual. I know the word of God. I can quote the word of God. Some people quote the word of God in three different translations: King James, NIV, and ESV. It's just all in you. Don't look at nobody right now. It's not a good time. Not a good time. But they can quote it. We could say it. We could write it. We could text it. We could share it. But if we're not living it. That's a demonic faith. Let me press it for a moment. Because he tells his Jewish believers, he tells his Jewish listeners who walk around and say, hey, we believe in a monotheistic God. We believe that God is real. We believe that God is one, but there is no evidence in their life. It's just emotionalism. We have it in the head knowledge. And then he says, but the demons got that. In other words, he says, Chuck, there's no demon that is atheistic. There's no demon that is agnostic. Demons know that God is real. They know it. They just don't have a relationship with him. Oh, come on. Let me holler at you for a moment here. Because we can know that God is real. We can know it in our minds. We can know the word of God. But if all we do is know it and we never do it, then all we've graduated to is a demonic faith. All right, let me go ahead and lighten up on you for a moment. Let me lighten up on you. I remember this because I love being a parent. I really do. I love being a parent. I've had some of my most wonderful experiences as a father. I have. Particularly when my kids have company. I enjoy it. Lee, because it allows me to lean in and listen sometimes. And I remember leaning in one day, and I can't believe this, because y'all know I'm a nice guy. You're supposed to say something right there. You're supposed to, people listening online, you're supposed to let them know that I'm a nice guy. Huh? I mean, y'all know I smile, and I'm friendly, and we laugh together, and we enjoy life together. But for some reason, when my kids have company, their company, you won't believe this. I'm telling you, you won't believe this. Their company believes that I'm strict. Can you believe that? Look, am I telling the truth here? That company come to the house, and this is what I overhear sometimes, Shannon. Man, your dad, I think your dad is mean. they mean that in the nicest way. But my kids don't say they think. They say, we know. I'm trying to help you understand something here. It's one thing to have a knowledge in your mind of God, but it's a whole other thing to live your life like you know God is real. It changes how you live life. It changes. It's kind of like when someone is, I saw it the other day. I saw a child run, and when they saw their dad, the whole demeanor changed. But that's how it should be as believers. Otherwise, he says, the faith that we profess, it's not only lifeless, y'all, it's not true faith. It's demonic. If there is no fruit to our faith, then what good is it? What good is it for us to gather in this holy place? What good is it for us to stand on the works of those who've gone before us and bless, and we're blessed through it, and we ourselves are not living or leaving a legacy that others could be blessed through? It's a demonic faith. But then he pushes it further. He says, do you want to be shown, verse 20, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Then he brings up two examples. He says, Abraham, you see, the faith was active in the works of Abraham. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Let me work for a moment. What James is not saying is that our works save us. He's not saying that we work to be saved. No, Christ completed that work. Christ's work. And through his work on the cross, we are saved. But hold on now. When you're saved through your salvation, you're compelled to work. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is within you. And if the Holy Spirit is within you, he leads his people, his children, to make a difference. Here's the question. Is your life making a difference? And is it lining up with what we claim we believe? No one's answering that question. You think it's rhetorical? Look at your life. Look at our faith. Is it true? He lifts up Father Abraham and he says, get this. He says, Abraham's faith was put into practice when Abraham was obedient unto the Lord. He lifts him up. Now, hold on. Let me help you for a moment. He doesn't lift up Abraham as a model for morality, because if you're a Bible student, you know that Abraham has some problems. You know, if you read his life, Abraham was not perfect. In fact, when you read it, you want to pray for Sarai that she was actually married to Abraham. And yet God chose Abraham, in spite of what he knew about Abraham, to grow Abraham in his faith, and through his faith, he produces good works. And then he picks another example. She's right there in text. The Bible is an equal opportunity employee. So here it is. He picks Rahab, and he says Rahab had a profession. She was a prostitute. And he holds up Rahab and says, and her faith was real faith because she put her faith in action, because she hid the messenger sent by God. She participated with what God was doing. So despite her background, she had genuine faith and she put her faith in action. God has chosen all of us despite our background, despite where we come from, despite what you've done, despite where God has chosen us to know him. He's chosen us to live for him. And before us is, what kind of life, saints of God, are we living? Are we living a life of faith that gives life? Or are we just imitations before the world? Says faith without works is dead. For there is a lifeless faith. There is a useless faith. But what God is calling us to is a living faith. Ephesians 2:10 declares that we are God's workmanship created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we must walk in them. Titus 2:7, in all things show yourself to be a pattern of good works. Titus 3:1, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Titus 3:14, and let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, and they may not be unfruitful. Jesus Christ himself says, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? He says, for as much as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. So I want to challenge you, saints of God, to live lives of living faith. That when we go, we don't ignore the needs, but we look with compassion on humanity, knowing full well it was Christ who looked upon us with compassion. That we do all we can to meet the needs as we grow in our faith in God. And guess what? It will be a demonstration that we're part of his family. Because when you look at the family tree of Jesus, you see Abraham and you see Rahab. That tells us then that when we align our lives in faith with Jesus Christ, we become a part of God's family. Works don't come first. Because here's the deal. You can do a whole lot of good work and not be a part of God's family. But when you come to Christ, Christ will work in you and compel you to good works. And then you will reflect him so that others might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I want to pray that you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That you have a genuine, authentic relationship that makes a difference in how you live your life. There are so many needs out there. So many people struggling. And God wants to use you to help those who are in need to not have to struggle so much. That through you, they can see Christ. So our declaration will be in demonstration of the change, the difference knowing Christ can make. So Father, I pray before you, I bring these, your people before you, asking that you would use us even more. That our faith will not stop. That we'll go further, we'll go deeper in our relationship with you, our relationship with each other. That our faith be real. And that you be clearly seen through us. And if someone has not surrendered their lives to you, and there's no life that's there, we ask that you would touch their hearts even now, that they would know you, that you'd create within them a living faith, that not only would they be saved, but that you'd use them to help others be saved, that we might all know your love and live out your love through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.